Let's go to John 14. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now his peace is something that has no home in human nature. Because his peace is there no matter what happens, no matter what transpires, no matter what conflicts, no matter what troubles, no matter what woes that come upon you. The command here is to let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I've told you 1,000 times over the years that the two most important words in the Bible are reckon and let. Reckon yourself crucified, dead, without problems. If something is troubling you, pretend you're in the grave. What can trouble you? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, the only way that this is possible is that if you stop giving any importance whatsoever to anything that is perceived or understood by the senses. Now, it gets more interesting here. And again, the word peace is shalom in Hebrew, but it means the absence of anything against you, any situation, any person, anything. There is nothing against a believer. There is always something against the thing that you value the most. Now listen carefully. Let's go down to verse 30. You can study the rest of it in your own. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. And as we've talked about yesterday and many times before, the prince of the world is coming, and he has, what the right translation of that is, he has no interest in Christ. How could the prince of this world have absolutely no interest in Christ, and he has no interest if you're his disciple? He has no interest in you. Does anybody believe this? Or are you convinced that there's things that are coming against you? Do you think that there's some big battle between Christ and Satan? Now, you may sit there in silence, but the next time something happens that you don't like, you're going to go crazy. Why? Because you let your heart be troubled instead of understanding the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, he is our Redeemer. Redeemer means he's purchased us from the slave market. But there is a one that is a closer kinsman that has the right of first redemption. And the one that has a closer kinsman that has the right of first redemption for you is the God of this world. And as long as you continue to have the cares of this world, then the one that has the right of first redemption is the God of this world. That's what we studied in Ruth. Go to Ruth real quick. It's right after Judges for our Bible scholars. Verse chapter 4. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. Now, the kinsman who he spake of is in verse chapter 3, verse 12. And this is the words that you've got to hear. And now, my daughter, fear not. In verse 11, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. He's talking about the bride. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Who is the kinsman? He's never named here because the kinsman is the God of this world. But, am I boring you? Somebody's not here. I know Roger's not here, but other than that. All right. So now we're then went in verse chapter 4, verse 1 again. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. Unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is, come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou will redeem it, redeem it. But if thou will not redeem, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. You got to hear this. The law says that you cannot bring a Moabite into the kingdom of God. And the reason that's important is Moab is the flesh. That's what it signifies. Moab and Edom both signify the flesh. You cannot bring any part of your flesh or anything that you perceive with the senses into the kingdom of God, because a Moabite cannot be part of the kingdom. But, so the kinsman got confused. He didn't know the law. He doesn't say that you can't bring a Moabitess into the kingdom. Now, if your identity is yourself and you continue to go after the things that you've been going after all your life and placing importance on the things that you've been placing importance on all your life, then you remain a Moabite. But if you abandon yourself, take no thought for you or yours, that you live in perfect abandonment to Christ, then by definition you are the feminine of the verb form I am, so you are the Moabitess, and the God of this world cannot take you. The one that has the right of first redemption cannot take you. But as long as you continue to try to improve your lot, then the God of this world has an interest in you. And the one who has the right of first redemption will redeem you. You've got to make yourself of such that the God of this world has no interest in you, and the only way you can do that is to abandon once and for all time all interest in self-realization. Now, this is the law, and the law is spiritual. Does anybody understand me? Anybody have any response to this? This is wild. Because the entire Christian world, for the most part, are trying to make themselves acceptable to the God of this world by being successful, by being happy, by having a happy marriage, having happy children. All the little how-tos are teaching the people of God how to be acceptable to the one that has the right of first redemption, namely the God of this world. Now, this is critical. And this is why the gift of faith from the Holy Spirit of God cannot be shared or spread on your flesh or your sensory perception, because then God's gift would be making you acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. And it makes me cry when I think of the number of people who are being deceived in the name of God, and are all they're doing is making themselves acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. It's only us who are unacceptable, who have no value to this world, who the one who has the right of first redemption refuses, because we have no interest. He has no interest in us. As long as you continue to try and to continue, what does it say? You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination to God. As long as you are trying to gain something that's highly esteemed among men, and the reason you're an abomination to God is that in doing so, you're trying to make yourself acceptable to the wrong one, to the one who has the right of first redemption. This is why it's only the poor and the empty and the humble and the meek, the failures that enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this should trouble some of you. And again, I say to you that as long as you are trying to make yourself acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption, your nearest kinsman, you will never receive, or you'll never apprehend the gift of faith. Because you will continue walking after the senses, making decisions after the flesh, after emotions. As long as you're looking at situations, you will never see. We look not at the things seen, but the things not seen. The things seen are of the soul. The things not seen are of the spirit. Anybody understand me? If you really understood it, now you would understand what it means that you've sold your soul to the devil. Because you've tried to make yourself acceptable to the world system. And it's amazing to me. It just blows me away. This doesn't bother anybody? What? Do you understand it? Do you like it?
Does it matter? That's a good question.
Yeah, it matters. Because you've seen if through, then you'll understand it.
Sometimes I get modes where I hate it.
You go into the pit.
Yeah.
The slippery slope of the pit. And you continue in the pit until you hit some kind of bottom for you. And then the only thing you can depend on is His resurrection. As long as you hope in anything other than the resurrection, then you're trying to make yourself acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption.
That's what you use the hope for.
It's finished. It's perfect. You've been perfected forever. What more could you want? But it doesn't look good, and I have all these needs and all these disappointments, and oh. People aren't nice to me. It's either black or white. It's either in the kingdom or out of the kingdom. It's either in the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. In the kingdom of light, there's only perfect peace. If something hits you that causes you to leave peace, I promise you it was the Holy Spirit of God trying to do His thing to make you unacceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. The world is on fire. Everything around you is burning. It's just slowly burning. If you could see as Ezekiel saw and see as others have seen, wherever you look, you'd see that the world system was on fire. It's oxidizing. That's what fire is. Including you, your body. Just if you don't believe it, look at Harry. You may want to make yourself acceptable to the God of this world. That's your business. You may want to try out and go and learn how to be successful and happy. And happiness is just stupid. Happiness is always dependent on whether or not things go your way or not. I have absolutely no interest in happiness. I have a profound interest in joy. Joy is not dependent on any external thing because it's the joy of the Lord. Paul said in Romans, make no provisions for the flesh. And you will experience this joy. Go to Romans 14 a minute.
Just thinking, I don't think you'll be the one that will help me with my resume.
Yeah, well, if that's what you want to do, I'll try to talk you out of it, but if that's what you want to do, I'll help you do anything you want to do so you can get over it quickly. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not in food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approveth of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. This is really, really, really important. Because you've spent your lifetime trying to do the best you can. Trying to be successful, trying to have the esteem and respect. Many times you went to seminars or churches that tried to teach you how to have more self-esteem. And all they're doing is trying to teach you how to be acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. Esteem or not esteem. Those are meaningless issues.
Is that the same as trying to make yourself acceptable to yourself?
Yeah. You're the God of this world. You're the child of the God of this world. You're the son of the snake. The child of the whore. So let's just read the Buckner verses a minute. Isaiah 57.
Someone originally wrote that, didn't they?
Isaiah 57. The righteous perish. Who is the righteous one? The only righteous one is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you, by your self-efforts, are killing him, crucifying the Son of God afresh. The righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But as for you, draw near hither, you sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterers and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourself? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression and the seed of falsehood, inflaming yourself with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys and cliffs of the rocks? Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set up thy bed. Even there wentest thou up to sacrifice. And these are the seven mountains of your mind. Behind the doors also on the post hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up, and hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. Man, I've got here this great plan and these great ideas up here on the high mountain. And thou wentest to the king with thou ointment, the king, the god of this world, with thou ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did thy send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself even into hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of your way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, and therefore thou wast not grieved. Over and over and over, it says the same thing. Thousand times he's put obstacles in your path, hoping you would stop and inquire of him to be your sustenance and source of life. But you obstinately and determinedly forged on ahead, going to the refrigerator again to drink sour milk. Remember the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results? You've tried everything, and it all ended up in disappointment. Can't you see? Now, the good news is the reason that everything you do ends up in disappointment is because you are chosen of Him. That's why it says, fret not yourself because of evildoers who prosper in their ways. The evildoers aren't the mafia. The evildoers are the ones who are interested only in self-seeking. Fret not yourself because of the evildoers who prosper in their way and have little white picket fences around their house, or black picket fences. Fret not yourself because of evildoers who prosper in the way. Give it no thought. Pete just sent me. This Eric Preston, where Pete is staying. I hope you're listening, Eric. He's like, I guess he loves computers and playing on them. But he found the Copeland Ranch, and it's one of Kenneth Copeland's. Commercial enterprises, and it's this, and the ranch is the exact outline, and it shows a map of it, and You can go there and buy horses or sell horses or ride horses or feed cattle or but it's the most amazing website I've ever seen in terms of hawking something. Anything, yeah. And he called me, believe it or not, I got a letter from Copeland yesterday and he called me last night.
Copeland
called me. It was a recorded message to announce the Southwest Believers Conference.
Yeah.
And the letter he sent me was one he had sent to probably 3.5 million others. But it was But everything that Copeland was saying was how to make yourself acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. And that's that. I know he believes what he's doing is absolutely godly. Well, then, who are you to say, well, I'm one who saw something. I'm one who saw the emptiness and futility of human effort. The name of his ranch, it's Copeland Cattle Company, but the name of his ranch is Faith Ranch.
Faith University Cross. I think the brand would be KC.
KC? Kansas City?
KC, Minnesota, please.
All right, please consider what I say. And if you don't believe it, at least have the intellectual integrity to search the Scriptures to see whether these things be true. And if you don't know how to search the Scriptures, talk to your Bible study teacher, not me. You've got some kind of smirk on your face. What evil thing have you thought up now?
I'm thinking of Ole's ring.
We're here. Except I don't own it. The plantation. Well, that's what when we got audited, one of the attorneys for I'm sure it was Brewer told the IRS that we were living in colonial mansions and I was wearing Armani clothes and that we were driving Cadillacs. And this is when we had the 77 Cadillac that was falling apart and the air conditioner didn't work. That was Harry's favorite car.
Rampant sex and drugs.
Which I hated. I hated that car. But Harry loved it.
And the Lord took it away.
So the Lord must love you better than he does Harry.
The Lord isn't too interested in either one of us. The love of God is centered in the Son. Please, don't fret over crap.
I'm sitting here thinking about and enjoying God's sense of humor, like in Haman, where Haman says, who would the king more want to honor? And he ends up slipping on a banana peel and being a fool. Or in this one, the nearest kinsman doesn't know that he's turning down like the world's most beautiful babe. Because the whole book talks about how fabulous this woman is, and then he turns her down.
Who had Hap?
It's just a riot. I think it's really funny the way God does that.
The great tricker.
Yep. There's always an element, though. There's always that element of humor or
satire.
It's cool. It's really cool.
You understand all this? No, I'm looking through you to see Roger. No, you.
Yeah. I don't quite get a grasp on it.
Jim, would you sign him in?
I'm wanting to be acceptable.
Well, is there anything? What don't you grasp then? As long as you want what the world wants, test. If anything that you desire, anything you want, is the same as the world wants, then you know it's an abomination unto God. And it's an abomination unto God because it's making you acceptable to the God of this world instead of the God of eternity. That's why the scripture that we first read said that the prince of this world, or the God of this world, is coming and he has no interest in me. Those are the words of Christ. He has no interest in him because he wasn't acceptable. Anybody else? This is terrible stuff. This is terrible news. Unless you've seen the futility of all human effort, and then it's great news. Unless you've seen the depth of your own sin, then it's wonderful news, because now your life is not your own business anymore.
Unless you have a sneaking suspicion, you're totally screwed up.
You know, this issue is just one of the many that really causes a person to really believe. Because this sustenance thing, I mean, you desire these things because it gives you sustenance. You know, it's like feeding.
That's what it is. It's feeding.
You know, and instead of being fed, you know, it's just...
It's a feeding frenzy. That's what a football game is, or a baseball game, or a movie.
And I literally feel that, you know, when I feed, you know, something's gone, the peace is gone.
That's right.
It's real.
Because we are fed the bread for which we'll never again be hungry, and the drink for which we'll never again thirst. The blood of Christ is what gives us our worth, and that's the main thing. You have to have a sense of worth. And the body of Christ is what gives us our sustenance instead of education or achievement or looks or anything else. He alone is our sustenance. He alone is our worth.
Thinking about the again the time element here, you know, it's like in the moment if you're eating, you know, you're getting filled. But if you think about wanting something and thinking about, you know, this food out here, a big feast, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, it's there.
Yeah, and that's what we've talked a lot about, the debt that everyone's in. You can't believe how much debt you put yourself in when you are eating from these air, from the future ideas, and gaining sustenance and enjoyment from contemplating, you know, this great thing you're going to do, or this place you're going to go, or even the weekend if you're, you know, have a normal job, or, you know, thank God it's Friday. What the hell does that mean?
Hey, it's Friday.
I'm just working so I can have a vacation. Well, that's kind of stupid. Oh, I'm working so I can retire. I mean, that kind of thinking just doesn't register if anybody has any spiritual understanding. For each day is the Sabbath. There is no more Friday. The Sabbath isn't a day, it's Jesus.
What Michael just mentioned is really something that I've seen over the last 20 years I've been here, whatever it is, the importance of experiencing what you believe rather than just thinking something is real or hoping something is true or reading something in a book or going to a classroom.
Or a movie.
Whatever. Is knowing...
Go ahead. Well, I was just adding a little bit to your discussion. Go ahead. Finish, Harry.
The importance of experiencing what you know. Head knowledge is useless.
Amen.
But if you know it's true, if you experience it's true, then it's true. You can't be shaken from it. You know it.
O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee. I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. Amen?
Unfortunately, that's the exception.
I'm going to smack you just for the hell of it.
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean.
No, I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. Take it, big guy.